not that depressing.
That's the mood a lot of Titans fans are right now. Welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show. Live this morning at Pete and Terry's at Bridgestone Arena. Predators take on Vancouver tonight. Pre-game starts at 6. Puck drops at 7. Let's now bring in our good friend Jonathan Hutton today with reaction to Kevin Byard doing this. Jonathan getting traded. Jonathan, you know Kevin Byard. Were you shocked? Not shocked? Surprised? Not surprised? Your reaction to all this?
I wasn't shocked. I was, I mean, not surprised either, Joe. I just didn't know which way. It was just an answer to a question of which way the Titans were going to be leaning at the trade deadline. I think they, I mean, honestly, they wanted to trade him this offseason if they could have. I think the contract kept them from that. I'm told that Howie Roseman and the Eagles have long liked Kevin Byard. They liked him coming out of Middle Tennessee and would say as much to scouts within the organization from time to time at different events. So, you know, I don't think it's a shock either that Roseman and the Eagles were interested. And, yeah, I mean, I think if they would have restructured the deal or taken a pay cut, rather, to remain a Titan this offseason, chances are a deal like this gets done in the offseason instead of at the deadline. But the restructure and what they did right before the season started allowed this deal to get done, because monetarily it's most of that money was paid in a signing bonus, and the Eagles could tack that on to the roster and the cap that they had.
How does Mike Vrabel spin this as not giving up on the season?
Quite frankly, I think fans would see it that way if they don't trade any other pieces. And if they do, there's no way it's to spin it. It's the same. If Henry ends up getting traded, Joe, there's no other way to spin it than exactly that. It's the same obvious point to what we had last year when they fired John Robinson in December. Titans were done at that point. The players aren't dumb. They know what's going on. And there are a lot of players with expiring contracts that either were brought back with the sense of, okay, they just fired the general manager. There's a sign that the new one's coming in. There's going to be a rebuild. And then in the offseason, there wasn't one really. They drafted a backup quarterback and a backup running back, a starting offensive lineman who's good, and some pieces that hope to develop, but again, not immediate help. And then they signed DeAndre Hopkins late in the process, and it's like, okay, one foot in, one foot out. Players see this. And the players will also take note of what happens between now and a week from today at the deadline, because we saw the signal last year in December. This would be a sign in October before Halloween or on Halloween at the deadline that they're looking towards next season before they get into month number 3 of the regular season. They're never going to say just total bottom out. They will not do that. That's not in Mike Vrabel's DNA. But they had to have draft pieces. They had 6 total picks before yesterday. 3 of those 6 were 7th round selections. And if you're looking at this roster, the one thing that is glaring, and it has been glaring for now going on 2 years, maybe 3, the lack of young talent as depth pieces. They are completely void of that in terms of depth. And especially when it comes to young pieces, affordable back-end roster pieces on the back end of the draft that still haven't panned out as pieces to this puzzle. They need a lot of everything. And you can't do that straight through free agency, even if they got a ton of money. And if Byard's not a part of this deal, part of the restructure of the roster after this year, you try to get what they did yesterday, which is a 5th and 6th round pick. In exchange for what's been a solid piece to your organization and been the role model of what you want in every player you bring in.
We're talking to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick's Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Jonathan, do you think that Kevin Byard was consulted about this trade? Do you think that he was working with Vrabel and Carthon on this? And do you think that he wanted this, or do you think that he would have rather stuck with being a Tennessee Titan for the long haul?
It's a great question. I don't know that answer. What do I think? I think Byard knew that he was a tradable asset whenever he signed that new deal. But whenever he signed it, he got $7 million right then and there on the signing line there. So I think he wanted to be here. I think, you know, absolutely it was an insulting way to go about asking him to take a pay cut. But yeah, I mean, it's the business. Byard was a true pro in how he handled everything. He's no doubt he was pissed off about it, but you know, he kind of shrugged it off and went about his season, but we didn't hear his name very much, quite frankly, this year. Sure. I don't, here's the deal. Consulted? No. Told about it ahead of time? Sure. And through his agent, that would have certainly been in talks with whatever team they're going to end up with as soon as it happened. Or the fact that, I mean, if Roseman, the way I'm told, Roseman's calling in the offseason about Byard, the agent certainly knows that too. And what would have been a slap in the face in the offseason, now he's got a chance to go win a title. That wasn't happening here.
So, Jonathan, with this big game coming up, the Titans are coming out of the bye week. They got Atlanta here at home. Ryan Tannehill likely not starting. What do they need to do in this game? And honestly, who do they need to start at quarterback to kind of get this team back on track? And do you think that really this game in particular against Atlanta is going to be the decision maker on whether or not the Titans are still necessarily in go for it mode, or that they're going to kind of wave the white flag after this matchup?
I mean, I think it certainly can be. I'll answer your first question or second question first. I think it certainly could be, because I mean, after this, you end up 2-5 with a situation where you're playing Pittsburgh after that. Look, Junie, I think in regards to the Atlanta game, it's a game they've got to win. But also a game that, I mean, the roster could look a lot different even before Sunday, based on the way the trades have gone down. And you're making deals now. The deadline's the deadline. Teams are making acquisitions now, trying to pick up a piece and get things going. By the time the deadline rolls around and you go into the week 9 week with your piece already there that you're trying to acquire, that would be my mindset as the general manager. As far as the Atlanta game being the end-all be-all, the way I view the Titans is different than the way I view, for instance, and have viewed the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings got off to a terrible start, and now they're sitting in the 8th spot, the last team out in the NFC, in the NFL playoff picture. That team can be a playoff team. That team is built to make a run, actually have some consistency and couple together a few wins, stack some wins on their schedule, and be a playoff contender come December and be in the postseason. The Titans don't have the depth. They don't have the consistency, quite frankly. They're so inept offensively week to week. They don't have the offense to be that type of team. And defensively, they've given up explosive plays that don't allow you the opportunity to get the ball back if you're having a pretty good day moving the football between the 20s, their problem is the red zone. Point being, I don't know if it's the end-all be-all with what they want to be the rest of the season. They want to be in the playoffs. But the NFL changes drastically over 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, San Francisco is dominating the Dallas Cowboys, and 2 weeks later they've lost 2 straight.
Right.
So can the Titans stack some wins now? Sure. Do they need Ryan Tannehill? Yes. Because here's what I know. They're not stacking wins with Malik Willis. And they know that. They have to know that. If Will Levis is not the quarterback, if Tannehill isn't the guy, that's a huge problem on what this staff has pointed to as the solution for what was a bad backup quarterback a year ago in Malik Willis. You can pin that on Robinson all you want to. This is on Vrabel. Vrabel made that call. Rand Carthon made that call. And they did the same thing that the Titans did a year ago with John Robinson as the general manager. They drafted a backup quarterback and a backup running back. We've got to see those guys. There's a reason, and I don't buy into the it's a bad situation to put him in because he's going to get banged up and he's going to get knocked around. He's going to lose his confidence. No. I would lose my confidence if I can't beat out Malik Willis, who doesn't know to run out of bounds late in that game in London. Instead of trying to go for the pylon when it's a busted play or not taking a sack in a crucial situation. That's where Levis can be better. And look, even if Tannehill goes, I would want to see Levis as the backup QB. I would elevate him that far.
We're talking to Jonathan Hutton. He's the host of Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Jonathan, what do you make of the report today, allegedly, from Dana Russini, where nobody wants Derrick Henry?
I mean, at the price tag, or – I mean, look, teams are calling about Henry, but they want to know if it's going to be a fire sale or not. And here's the other thing, Joe. When I say no – when she says no one's interested in Henry – I mean, they'd be interested in Derrick Henry for, you know, some type of conditional late round pick.
Sure.
But you also have to have some cap space in order to pull this off. That's number one. And number two, it's unrealistic to begin with that he was going to pull or draw some mid-range draft selection, day two draft selection, because of the value on running back right now. If you are a team that goes through the run or has a high priced running back, you either have your guy or you have a backup right now that is producing at a level that you're comfortable with until you're getting your guy back. We saw that with Deontay Foreman in Chicago this past weekend. We saw that with Kareem Hunt in Cleveland this past weekend. That there are guys that are available that teams have already put on their roster that are producing to a decent level for teams that believe they are playoff caliber worthy. But I would, if I'm, and I don't know the draft selections here for teams. If I'm Seattle, if I am Minnesota, Dallas, there are other examples to look at. I mean, I'm certainly picking up the phone and asking questions about what it would take. And I'm trying to figure out what money would be allocated towards staying here versus picking up. And right now it's 6.4 million remaining of the 11 that he had going into the season on a per game payment. So it's steep for a league that doesn't value running back, especially running backs over the age of 30.
Is Vrabel, in your opinion, starting to kind of get on the hot seat, Jonathan?
Not yet. Not at 2-4, Joe. But at this time last year, I would have said the same thing about John Robinson. And for the accolades and the bio of – you've got the playoff, so many winning seasons, playoff appearances, AFC South championships. Vrabel's got that. I think, by the way, I think it would be a bad decision to fire John Robinson. It was a bad decision to fire John Robinson. Bad decision to fire Mike Vrabel. I'm not making the case here. But Robinson had the same type of bio. And Amy said that she had made up her mind in December. So... yeah, if this turns, who knows? Who knows based on what we saw happen last year and the timing of everything. But right now, no, I don't see a hot seat scenario. But can the seat get hot? Sure, because I think the signal was sent to everyone within the organization, including Mike Vrabel a year ago. Win, and win more than what we have been winning. AFC South championships and then bowing out in the postseason just isn't good enough for ownership. That's what she said. So, okay, if that's the case, then who knows what she's thinking as things go south. And by the way, she would also be, speaking of being consulted, she would be consulted on these trades. And that could also be a reason why they're having a fire sale too. Let's not forget the other piece, which is ownership for a coach that does not sign up to tank, period. He's not going into 2023 thinking about 2024. Vrabel is solely focused on the season that he's coaching. And make no mistake, Vrabel has the power in this structure right now. So he did in the offseason, and now he's got it here, at least for now. And this is also a sign of where do we see the pivot to where Carthon starts making his moves versus when Vrabel wouldn't be making those calls. Making the decision of, here's who I need, here's what we're doing, here's the plan versus here's the plan for next year. Again, Vrabel does not think that way. So I don't think he's wanting to push pieces aside, thinking that that's going to improve the team that's already pretty bad.
Absolutely. We'll hear from Vrabel at 11 o'clock today. Jonathan, as always, man, we love your perspective. Thank you for everything. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, always enjoy this. Thank you, guys. Enjoy the show.
Jonathan Hutton, you can hear him with the Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. You can hear him on 94.9. every weekday over there. All right, we'll take a break, come back, your reactions to what's the one trade that's devastated you in professional sports that you still can't get over. And 11 o'clock, Mike Vrabel is going to talk to the media. We're going to scoot out a couple minutes early and let the talented midday crew come in and get you all set up for that. We're live this morning at Pete and Terry's. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.